This is episode 141 of Extraordinary Women Radio. Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio. I am your host, Cami Gellner. Women are being called to lead with voice, vitality, and vigor. Each week, join me for wisdom-filled interviews with extraordinary women living out loud and making a difference in our world. Their stories will uplift, inspire, and spark your own purpose-driven journey. Hello, my extraordinary women friends. Today, I am honored to bring you a 2020 Colorado Women's Hall of Fame inductee, Guadalupe Brezeno. Guadalupe's story is inspiring, and I love stories of women standing up for what is right, and Guadalupe is one of those women. In 1969, Guadalupe was the organizer of the Kitayama Carnation Strike in Brighton, Colorado, just a few miles east of where I grew up. In fact, many years later, in the very first month after graduating from high school, I would work in this same carnation farm before I headed to Denver to start my career there. So her story is pretty close to home for me, and I am honored to share her story. Guadalupe demonstrated the strength and power of Latina leadership in Colorado's labor movement and set the stage for the Colorado Chicano civil rights movement of the 1960s and 70s. Her story is an essential chapter in the history of Colorado, the evolution of Latina feminist leadership, and the struggle for Chicano civil rights. The Kitayama Carnation Strike was one of the seminal events in 1969 that laid the foundation for the Chicano movement in Colorado. The impact of the women-led social movement reverberated throughout the state within the Chicano civil rights movement. But most importantly, Guadalupe and the Kitayama Carnation Strike demanded that women, as well as all laborers, be treated with the respect and dignity that they deserved. Fundamental human rights were at the heart of their demands, the same rights that are the foundation of many of the social justice movements today. Equal pay for equal work, immigration rights, anti-human trafficking, and the Me Too movement. Guadalupe Brezeno, her companions, and their role in the Kitayama Carnation Strike empowered Latinas in the civil rights, labor, feminist, education, and social justice movements of the 1960s and 70s. Her action and her leadership are the shoulders upon which current Latina leaders stand. Let's meet Guadalupe Brezeno, a Colorado Women's Hall of Fame 2020 inductee. Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio, Lupe. It's such an honor to feature you today.
Well, it's an honor that you got me here talking, and hopefully that I can answer your questions the best way I know how.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing your stories. I know you've done incredible work over your lifetime. And what an honor for you to be named to the Colorado Women's Hall of Fame.
Oh my God, yeah, that was a surprise, a big surprise.
Oh, I bet so. And it's such a shame that we had to cancel the gala for now, or at least postpone it.
Yeah.
I know your family came into town to be here with you for that this week. And
I have my boy here and my grandson. They want to be here with the grandma, but with this kind of weather, he's got stuck at the DIA.
Oh, no.
Who knows if he might leave today?
Oh, well.
What a weather.
It is crazy weather. I think we got 9 inches of snow here up in Evergreen. So it was quite the snowstorm we got yesterday. On top
and
of everything else.
There's another one coming in.
Is there? Oh, I hadn't even heard that.
Yeah, there's another one coming in. And I got my other boy that he drove over here. And let's see if he can get back to California now.
Okay. Well, you got to beat the storm or find a way around it. Right. Well, I am looking forward to hearing your story. In the early 60s, you led a labor strike in a little town of Brighton, Colorado, which is where I happen to have grown up. And in fact, you led a labor strike at a carnation plant called Kitayama's. And that is a place that I worked at in my first month following my high school graduation in the early 80s. So when I heard the story of you leading a strike at Kitayama's in the 60s, and the work that you did, I was really looking forward to having this conversation with you.
Oh, my. Yeah, it just happened, you know. We live about 4 miles here from my house to the plant where Kitayama's plant is. He grows carnations and roses.
Mm-hmm.
And it just happened that my kids are already, I have four kids and they're all in school. So I thought, well, now is the time that I'm going to try to go to work and make an extra few dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And not too far away from my house. So I went over there and I applied for the job and I was hired. And you see these beautiful carnations, you know, a lot of carnations, different colors. So I was very happy. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're surprised because you see these things and you don't think that these things can happen and you can eyewitness what's going on. And we are original from Texas,
mm-hmm.
and we came here to Colorado. And when I first come here, my children were very small. And then when I saw these ladies first when I came to Colorado, and they were in the middle age, you know, still very young. And when I went to work with Kiriyama, well, they're older and they're working there. And all of a sudden, I see them crying, some of them. And
some of the women.
Yes, these
mm-hmm.
women.
Mm-hmm.
The curiosity, I always ask what is wrong, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm that type of person that I see something and I just have to ask. And I know them, so I don't have no trouble asking. And they said, oh, the conditions here, Guadalupe, is bad. I said, why? The way they treat us and the way they talk and speak to us. You know, they don't have no respect for a woman when they talk to you. Very dirty words.
Mm.
And I'm not afraid of the dirty words because I have heard them. But I mean, we were migrants, and you work with different kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
But there was, I mean, growing up, there was respect, you know.
You worked hard and you wanted the respect, and you deserved the respect.
That's what he said. My dad was a crew leader. And, you know, these people have respect for my dad because he brought these people to work on the field. And everybody has a family, you know. But when they come and speak to you or working close to you, you don't feel, you don't hear any bad language or responding to other person in bad language. So you grow up like that you have to have respect when other people talk to you or close to you,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And in my family, we're six girls and two boys.
Okay.
So my dad always teach us that, you know, you always have respect and be careful where you associate and where, especially when you're working, you know. And mm-hmm. while we were working in the field next to the whoever it's there, mm-hmm. it's a stranger. But you don't feel, you don't hear any bad language at all, you know. And here a kid.
These women were having bad language, you know, put onto them on a frequent basis.
It's just like a joke, you know. People are so used to that they talk like that to each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's something that it's so nice to talk like that. Well, some people don't like it. I don't.
Right.
And it was the first time I'm going to go to work. And it's so nice because you're going to be working under a roof, you know?
Right, right. And, instead of in the field.
And, yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was already a grown-up woman, you know? My children's already going to school.
So knew that this was not behavior that you wanted to be in. And so what did you do? Because back then there weren't many women leading labor strikes back in the 60s. So tell us what you decided to do.
No, we didn't plan to do it that way, or I didn't go to do that. I'm not an organized person or anything. You know, just to go play, just to go work it, cut the roses or the flowers, the carnations. And they put me on the carnations, which I think I was very good on cutting the carnations, you know, And I was very happy to do the job. But what I didn't like, it was, the way that they talk and treat the women. So on talking in conversation, I said, well, this has to be changed. You know, we didn't talk anything or saying that we were going to strike. It's just to talk to the boss, like, you know, you're having a problem, go talk to the boss and see if we can correct it just to talk.
Right.
But
a good logical step.
Yes, it didn't happen like that. I mean, right away, it was spread out in the plant like fire, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he called a meeting before we quit the day of work and find out you cannot go to the doctor. They will not give you a day off to go see the doctor or you lose your job.
Mm-hmm.
And that struck me wrong right away.
Exactly.
No.
Exactly.
You cannot do these things, you know. We have a family, we have a house, a husband, and children that if we have to take the day off, you have to give me permission. I'm not quitting. I just go to the doctor and take care of my child, and I will come back as soon as it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
My family comes first.
Absolutely.
I need the job, but my family comes first.
Mm-hmm.
So that was out. And I mean, just cut in a carnation and they will not give you permission to go see the doctor and you lose your job.
Mm.
And those years, it's hard for anybody because that's why you went to work. You don't have transportation. You're far away from home and you have small children that have to be taken care of it. So what am I supposed to do? Keep the job or take care of my family.
And that's
my
a tough, that's a first. Very, that, your family's first. And so what did you do?
Well, you know, that's what I tell these ladies. No, we have to talk. We have to talk to the manager. We have to talk to Ray Kiriyama. Well, before the day is over, he called a meeting. The whole plant, everybody was in a meeting. And right away, and I was sitting on the front line, you know, because mm-hmm. I was new on the plant. Well, look, there's this place. I would sit here. And we were just anxious to hear what he had to say. And he was mad. In a Japanese culture, this is the first time I meet a person like that, you know, and they don't show they're angry. But just the way he's talking and looking at us in the plant, you know that he's boiling and he's ready to attack anybody. And other people looks very calm, like, well, Ray's going to talk or he's talking. There's nothing to be, you know, out of place or feel bad about it. But his language was very bad. He said, in the first place, you all came here looking for a job, and I give you a job because you're just, well, he say the word, you're just a bunch of pigs.
Oh.
I mean,
wow.
To everybody and being the boss of this plant, just because you have this plant for nations and roses, you can talk to everybody here, men and women that are sitting here, because we all need a job. That's why we're here.
Right.
And you think you're a big man talking like that with us. I feel that you just give me a slap in my face. So, hey, the meeting's over. We all come and we all call each other, you know, and said that we have to set a meeting that we can explain to each other what we're going to be facing right tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We call a meeting and wait for everybody to show up because some people is working overtime or something. We wait. And before everybody show up, that when they walk in without permission, it was Rey Kiriyama. And order us as a grown-up women to go home, watch television. If you don't like watching what's going on television, go to sleep and I'll see you tomorrow. I mean, everybody feels so uncomfortable just to walk, see him walking, and then talking to us like we're King Picardian kids. For me, I don't accept that. I don't take that. So he left. You see, we see you tomorrow. He left and we all women stayed there. Some women were very upset and said, no, we stay here. We face him tomorrow. So the women were very strong. You'd be surprised when the women make a stand, which is not easy. And it's, you have a big responsibility because you have your kids at home.
Right.
And then we're going to take a step and we're going to stay here in the meeting and we're going to decide what we're going to do. We're all going to stick together and we show up to work tomorrow. Hey, when we show up tomorrow to work, there was policemen, Well County policemen all over the place. I mean, you had seen a movie, you know, with a war in on television, but not in presence in ourselves being involved like that.
Right.
You know, you're afraid because we haven't done anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We just call a meeting. Why do they have to call the police? We didn't steal nothing. We didn't broke anything. We didn't attack Ray. He is the one that breaks our beating, and this is not right. We are American citizens, and we're not going to tolerate anything like that. And the women said, we're going to stay strong, and we did. So we faced Ray, and the police were there, which the women got sick. They were throwing up, crying. What can you do? You get into a shock when you see this, because you never see these things in your life. But all of a sudden, you're in the middle of it, and you're not going to tolerate it. You know?
That took a lot of strength and inspiration. What in you?
We have to give to give courage to each other.
Yeah, right.
Because we're all in the same boat, and we never have any experience like that at all.
Right.
Nobody.
Right.
I mean, you not even being arrested in your life. You never been in a police car, and all of a sudden the police is all over you. The women are throwing up, they're crying, and I say, look, get hold of yourself, because we got into this and we're going to stick together and don't let him break it down. You have to be strong. We got into this one, stay strong. And quit crying, you know. and then it gives courage to the woman to stick together.
Yeah.
And we're not going to fall.
And so the women did stick together.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
All the women said, we're with you.
Yeah.
And we will stay with Guadalupe. We call another meeting. And he did the same thing. I mean, he tried to scare us. At least that's what we thought, because we'd never been in a situation like that. Nobody there. And he came in and take over again. But at this time, he couldn't cross the line or he couldn't come in the building because the men were outside the building and the Teamsters were there because it's already spread out, you know, because we have some support from people from Denver. And
so more people have come to join you.
Oh, yes. It spread out to help us with the union, you know.
And so you actually, did you actually start a union then?
No, we were just afraid. We're trying to organize to stop Rey Kiriyama from entering our meetings and try to scare these women. because his power, you know, show up, and he got the plan, you know, working. Then he, we went on striker in a picking line, and he brought some strike breakers, you know, these white students. We knew that they weren't going to hold on because the conditions are wet, you know, where you walk. And this, the humidity, you work it under a roof in a house, you know, it's very nice and full of beautiful flowers, beautiful carnations. But you get sick.
Right, because it's so hot.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And they will not let you go to the doctor.
Yeah. I mean, so what happened? You know, what happened with all of it then at that point? What was it? What came of all of this?
Well, I came home. He fired me.
He did. Yes. Wow.
We quit the job the day of work, and I came home, stored my supper, and tried to have everything ready when my husband came from work from Denver and set up the table for my kids.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, somebody's knocking in that door. So I go and check in the door who it is. It's right here.
Oh, my goodness.
In my house.
Oh, my goodness.
My first job after, you know, my kids grow up.
Right.
And then I have a job. And then he come home to fire me? No. This is complete out of control. I'm not a prisoner, and I'm America, and you're not going to get away with this. He said, I brought you your jar of water, your knife, and your hat, and you're fired.
Oh.
I said, Ray, this is not going to be the end of it. I look at his face, and I said, this is not the end. I will fight you to the end, win or lose, but I will try to fight you back that this is not right. Mm-hmm. And he walked away, him and his assistant. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I had to go to court. We came to the Capitol here in Denver and see if we come under any law that will protect us, you know?
Right.
But working under a roof in a greenhouse is the same as a field, working in the open field. We don't have no law to protect us.
Mm.
So it's up to the farmer and the workers. They can do with you anything they do, they want.
Mm.
So we fight him, and this beating is spread out. The University of Boulder, the students, people from Boulder came in to help us. The Catholic Church, the teachers, everybody show up at the picking line. And we put a picking line in the front of the gate at Ray Kiriyama's plant.
Oh, wow.
So it was 8 months strike, and the women were strong and say we stay till the end, whatever it happened. And we did. And since that, I've been attending meetings, and, you know, they asked me to come in and speak and say what happened to Ray or the greenhouse. They have another greenhouse in California. His brothers came in from California, and I never met the guys. His young kid used to go to school with my boy, and we met at the school teacher's meeting. And me and Ray, we act like friends. It doesn't have nothing to do in the meeting of the school what we're doing with the carnations. The carnations is very separate from the school meeting that we have to meet in public.
Mm-hmm.
And we fight it. But he brought police. The police. We don't like the police, especially when they show up and scare you.
Right.
They're not doing any harm,
right,
but their presence give you that feeling, you know?
Right, right.
What in the hell did I do wrong?
Right.
Just to come to talk, to correct whatever business that we're doing wrong, then we cannot correct it here inside the plan.
Yeah.
Why do you have to act this way? But he don't want to hear us.
Right. And what is it that, I mean, so such a courageous time for you. And why is it so important? And even just thinking about today, why is it so important that women raise up their voices when it's appropriate like this?
Because you have to have respect for yourself and they have to treat you right. No matter what kind of work you're doing.
Right. Right.
You know.
And so really standing up.
Yes, you're the boss and I respect your rules and everything. But there's things that you're doing wrong here and it has to be correct.
Right. Right. You know? What do you see has changed today and what still remains to be addressed in our systems today?
A lot of places still the same. Not as strong because some of the women are getting more strong and learn to speak up. But you know that if you're going to speak up and try to correct whatever is wrong for you, you're working, you're going to be fired.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all see what is wrong, but we don't have the courage to speak up. We keep it silent because I know that I'm going to lose my job and I need this job, whatever situation, it make me to come and hold a job.
But like you, you lost your job, but you still stood in your truth. You still stood in, I want to be respected. And that's so powerful.
And not just for me, for all the women.
Right, right,
no
right.
No matter
exactly.
Who you are or where you were.
What's the biggest opportunity for the generation of women left behind you?
Be strong and don't be silent. Speak up if you see something wrong. You know, a lot of women are strong and they see the necessity that we have to correct because it's all over. No matter what kind of work you're doing, there is something wrong in your job with your boss. And they have to have respect for a woman. And I don't know what it's going to take for them to learn or we learn.
Right.
But the people have to work. And these bands have to learn to take more respect for a woman, the way you explain and the way you talk.
Right.
At least that's for me and the women are learning to do that.
Yeah. That's good. It's so important. I know there's been times in my life where I was quiet when I shouldn't have been. And there's times where I spoke up when I needed to.
You saw something wrong. Yeah.
Right.
But you're afraid you're young. You need the job.
Right.
You know, for whatever reason you went to look for a job because there's a necessity, you know, I went to work because there's a necessity.
Right.
You know, you want to help your children to finish school. Buy another pair of shoes, everything for the gym for them to practice and stay in school. You need your education no matter what.
I love it.
You know?
What would you tell your 30-year-old self, Guadalupe?
Oh, my God. If I was 30 years back, I mean, we're talking about 50 years ago, you know? And you remember just like it happened yesterday.
Right.
You have faith on yourself in everything you do and your friends that you see wrong, you know, try to help them. Give them a helping hand, especially for the families that are in trouble with your kids at school, at work. You know, it's not easy, especially when mommy and daddy have to go to work.
Right.
They have to be rules. Especially now with all these electronic things that we have at home. Some people are lucky that they have everything at home. Some of them are not. And we're going to go and work to buy things that we need at home. But the first thing is the love and care of your family. And this is what's going to make our country stronger and health and have faith for each other and keep them in school. Until they graduate and go to college. Thanks to God. My boy my oldest boy, he signed up and went to the Air Force, and everybody finished high school. You know,
very good, very good.
As a migrant, we make the big jump.
Right, right, you know? Exactly. You should and be very proud of other, that.
Yes, and we have other families. They were migrants. Keep your boy in school. Stop all this. And yeah. Because of this strike, the labor camp here in Fort Lupton closed down. Some people are upset about it, and were upset about it because they didn't have no housing for people that come to do the work here in the field. If we don't speak up, when are they going to fix it?
Right.
They're making money,
right,
and they are bringing these people here to work, but they don't supply anything to help them. You know?
Yeah. So, and that is so courageous, and so much the ripple effect of what took place from that, you know, from those early days is, you know, so important. And the final question I always close with are, what three pearls of wisdom would you like to share with our audience today?
Oh, dear God. Just have faith.
Yeah.
Have faith on yourself, in your family, in your friends, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If we will be stronger every day with the help of God, the women will wake up and say, I will not tolerate this no more.
Yeah.
And we will get stronger. We need help for each other. Help each other when okay. you're in trouble and support. That's what I have to say. Women, stay strong. It's a family. It doesn't matter who. I mean, we have strangers everywhere, but be nice and kind. And as a family, we can go very strong. And
very
one
good.
Day, before I die, I hope I see all these women hand to hand, very strong.
Guadalupe, that is so beautiful. Thank you so much. And thank you for your time today and sharing your courageous story. And congratulations again on being inducted into the Colorado Women's Hall of Fame.
Thank you.
Yeah. And you have an amazing day.
Well, thank you. You do the same, and hope to see each other very soon.
I hope you liked this episode of Extraordinary Women Radio. If you did, please share this podcast with your own special tribe of women and help spread the love, the dreams, and the inspiration. Are you ready to raise up your voice, your visibility, and your business? I invite you to join the conversation in my Facebook group, Extraordinary Women Connect. This group brings together changemaker women entrepreneurs who want to elevate their business for impact. It is a place for powerful connections and collaborations. It is a place to be inspired, uplifted, and fired up for action. To learn more about my work that helps women entrepreneurs make heartfelt connections to mindful growth strategies, visit my website at cammygelner.com. Till next time, my friend, listen to your heart, follow your dreams, and be you.